Coming up on 43 minutes past the hour, Texas Standard Time, I'm David Brown. A man named Heman Sweat applied to enter the law school at the University of Texas in 1946, but he was automatically rejected because he was black. He filed suit and launched a case that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Sweat won and became the first black student at the UT Law School in Austin, but enrolling in classes was just the start of the long struggle to integrate. It's one of the stories in a new book called As We Saw It, The Story of Integration at the University of Texas at Austin. Virginia Cumberbatch is one of the editors of this book. She's also the director of the Community Engagement Center at UT Austin. Virginia, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, this has been a long time in the making, right?
Yes, this is, you know, arguably, you know, we could say a 60-year project in the making, in the sense that these stories have gone woefully undertold. But in terms of our efforts, about 6 or 7 years, we've been trying to collect these stories and figure out the best way to present them to the
broader community. And obviously a sense of urgency, too, right? I mean, a lot of these folks are getting on up in years, and they have stories that could be lost.
Exactly. You know, not to be too grim, but, you know, most of our precursors, because we define the integration period between 1950 and 1975, mm-hmm. are anywhere between, you know, mid-60s all the way up to late 80s.
You know, it's interesting. Sweat ultimately wins the case, but obviously that's not the end of the story. He eventually drops out of law school. Pick up the story. What happens then, and why was that significant?
Sure. So while we definitely credit Heman Sweat for integrating UT, I think his story is demonstrative of the pressures that come with being the first, the frustration, anxiety, and difficulties that come with being an activist and an advocate. And ultimately, you know, the stress of pursuing that long lawsuit in time in court took a toll on his health. I can imagine psychologically, emotionally, but also his physical health. But he ultimately opened the door for people to not only come in into law school, but the graduate studies were integrated in 1950 as a whole. And then what we see happen 6 years later in 1956 is undergrads being able to enter UT.
There wasn't just segregation on the basis of color. There was also gender segregation at the time. Was it harder to be a woman and African-American trying to attend UT?
Yes, it was hard to be a black person on campus at UT in the 50s and 60s, but even more complex was the role of being a woman and what that meant, particularly for their experience in the classroom. Mm-hmm. This idea of what roles women played, appropriate majors for women.
Appropriate majors for
yes.
women.
Yes. What you kind of see at play is women of color having to, in some ways, elevate both conversations and be advocates for not only women of color, but women at large.
This is a really fascinating dynamic because it's not clean or neat. It's mm-hmm. a little more messy mm-hmm. than the usual sort of binary story about integration. There is the story of the first black UT Austin varsity football player, Julius Whittier, but he didn't consider himself an activist.
This was one of my favorite chapters to write because we realized that in some ways these were unintended consequences of being the first, right? Mm-hmm. And there is this tension for a lot of black athletes, this idea that I just want to play ball. And I just want to get a scholarship and I just want to go to school and
please
I want to be normal.
Please don't mess it up for me.
Exactly. Yeah. But innately, because of their position as the first, they become activists and advocates for what that experience is going to be like for themselves and for the people that come after them.
And very high profile, too. Everyone's
for sure.
looking at them. Yeah.
And, you know, for the University of Texas, it took us 15 plus years after integrating to get our first black football player on the football field.
Something that touches me in a sense about many of these stories is that, especially firsthand accounts of people who were here early in the desegregation process, there is a nuance to the way that they thought about the people who were keeping them out, that it's not their bad people quite often. What the message that comes across is they were socialized, they were acculturated to these ideas, and they were so firmly and deeply held that there's almost an appreciation or a respect for the fact that these people were trying to hold to their values, and yet they were values that had to change for the good of everyone. Did you notice that? Maybe it's because of the way that a lot of these stories are resonating today as we talk about the culture of identity and the politics of identity now.
For sure. I think that was one of the greatest sort of unplanned insights that I got in interviewing some of these precursors, that I expected so much more resentment, so much more anger and frustration. While that's definitely there for some,
absolutely,
there is also this appreciation for, I get to be a part of shifting the consciousness of not only this campus, but this country, and realizing that a lot of these dynamics, while institutional, while systemic, individuals are just a part of those systems. And so for me, you know, you wonder if that's sort of hindsight or retrospectively, but to have that type of sort of grace at any point in their lifetime, I think is pretty remarkable.
Grace indeed. As we saw it, the story of integration at the University of Texas at Austin. We've been talking with one of the co-editors, Virginia Cumberbatch, head of the Community Engagement Center at the university's Division of Diversity and Community Engagement. Thanks so much for coming in and talking with us about this new book. We sure do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.